Hello.
Hello, Tybalt. Is that how you would like your nick to be pronounced?
It's actually Tybalt, from my understanding.
Tybalt.
But you can actually call me Jessica, because honestly, that name has become synonymous with a lot of other things, so...
Very well, Jessica, it is. So, what can you tell us about yourself? We know a little bit from the channel, but perhaps you could remind us, or for the people who don't know about you.
Also, to set records straight, I'm not going to go into nitty-gritty or go into other, you know, other people's business. But essentially, I'm from a suburb of Philadelphia, which is obviously a rather large city in the United States,
yes,
in Pennsylvania. Grew up pretty normally. I mean, I'm really not that special or fancy. I went to public school. I went to university. I'm in graduate school now.
Right.
Very liberal, as you know. I used to be a Marxist when I was in school.
Right.
Because I, you know, an idealist then. I'm more of a realist now.
Fair enough.
I like cats. I like to read. I'm a pretty normal human being, I guess. I also think I'm a lot more decent than I've been painted. You know, I work with kids that are, like, pretty severely disabled, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I enjoy what I do, and I'm glad that I can help them and improve their lives, and it's just really bizarre when I go from that situation, and then, you know, I get treated like I'm, you know, some monster, you know, elsewhere. It's just a really weird dichotomy, you know?
Yeah, I can see that. So do you have a pet at present? Do you live with a cat, or...?
Two cats. They're both a little strange, but I guess that's maybe a reflection upon me. Because while I'm normal in the way that I grew up and went to school and such things, you know, I personally have very different views, beliefs, you know, systems than most people I grew up with. And I grew up in a pretty wealthy area,
right,
and they were very conservative and religious. And you know, I did a song and dance when I was a kid,
yeah,
but I couldn't do it anymore.
You get along with your family?
That's a tricky question. My father and I, we're not close, but I get along with him more than anybody.
Right.
I also get along with, like, some of my cousins and such that are, my, you know, my age, closer
yeah,
to, but we don't
age mates or whatever you'd call it.
We don't really see each other anymore because a lot of them, you know, are either off doing their education things or getting married, having kids, etc. So everyone's kind of spread out a bit and don't
yeah,
really
fair enough.
See much of much.
So you know you are the first U.S. citizen to get interviewed.
It was really funny because I think I was one of the first people you asked.
Indeed so.
Quite some
it took
time
a while.
Ago. Yes. I'm not sure why. Maybe this was meant to be. Maybe it was meant to happen now.
Yeah, who knows?
Maybe that wasn't the right time. That's how I felt about graduating from Westchester University.
Mm-hmm.
It took me longer than I had planned because I had changed majors and I dropped out a semester and, you know, all kinds of stuff happened. And
yeah.
I was really sad about that. I'm like, you know, I could have graduated in 2007. I probably could have gotten a better job because the economy was better then, et cetera. But I really needed to graduate when I did. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been prepared to teach high school. You know, I wouldn't have been the person I was.
Right. So you grew up a bit, perhaps.
Yes, in that extended stay at undergrad.
I see. So, since you are from the U.S., tell us a bit about what your political position is, in general terms, perhaps. Of course, you are a liberal, so presumably, do you support the Democrats and the current presidency, or...
Well, actually, that's kind of a trick question in this country, is that there is, you know, a two-party system is very limited.
Mm-hmm.
While we do have other parties, technically, obviously, they don't really get to play a part.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, they're on a ballot, especially even for presidential races, there is sometimes a third-party candidate. But it's just a shame that they really don't have, you know, the ability to really, you know, be successful.
Right.
I am registered Democrat, so I can technically vote in primaries and local elections.
Do you do that usually?
Not so much. I do vote in primaries. This year it wouldn't matter because it's Republican primaries for the next election. But for, the Obama, Hillary Clinton.
In 2007 or so.
I voted for those. So I voted for Obama for the primary and for the general election. So that gives you, I guess, stance. Obviously, no president is what they say they're going to be. I mean, that starts when you're in school, when someone runs for class president. We're going to have water fountains that have, fruit punch come out of them. Of course, it's not going to happen. But I am more disappointed than I thought I was going to be.
Right.
Just because, he's very intelligent. He has really good ideas. Obviously, he was lacking a little on the experience, but that also can be a good thing, depending. Like, I think some new teachers, for example, might be better working with certain students than teachers that have been there for 20, 30 years because they have the newer training. They're up on the newer techniques.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I think some experience can be a burden, or a problem in some cases, or you can be set in your ways and not be flexible.
Yeah, and perhaps one has more energy when one starts.
Yeah, I'm just disappointed that it's not even that he's compromised and complied so much, because obviously the Republicans have been in control of the Congress, but it's that he just, just surrendered, it feels like. He just didn't even, he says things. He'll have speeches that are pretty poignant and intelligent and, I'll agree with what he's saying and what we need to focus on. But it's like the dog that barks at you, he's going to kill you, and then you go near him and he whimpers and runs away. It's not effective.
Not enough action.
He doesn't actually, get done what he had a big mess to clean up. Bush left a pile of crap, I didn't expect him to reverse everything and to fix everything in 4 years, obviously. I just feel when it comes to Congress, he's let the Republicans pretty much just do what they want and take over. And they've really threatened a lot of, public services.
Yeah.
Such as parenthood, that is not an abortion factory. That is a place for people to go for preventative care, for birth control, to prevent abortions even. And it keeps getting attacked, and I don't understand that, because the main, purpose it serves is for health care, for girls and women.
Mm-hmm.
Especially low income, which is most people now. I'm considered in poverty, with what I make while I'm in school.
Right.
If I needed some kind of woman health services, I would have to go to Planned Parenthood now. I don't have insurance anymore.
Yeah.
I don't have the money for a real, quote unquote, real doctor.
Right.
If they cut Planned Parenthood, I wouldn't even know what to do. So.
Yeah, that's obviously a big problem for people in your situation. So, since you say you are disappointed with the current leadership, do you identify yourself with the Occupy movement? Do you think that those people really represent you, or do you have disagreements with them?
That's kind of a mixed bag, because they're a mixed bag. I think some of them are basically, replicants of me. And then I also think some are just, want a reason to be, to protest and to.
Right.
I mean, because you're always going to get the people that are just there for the entertainment or just there because they'd rather do that than smoke the crack pipe on the corner. You're going to get all kinds.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I think the overall movement is on the right track. It's just unfortunate that because some of them do things that are, I think in New York City they had the picture of the guy defecating on the cop car. I mean, that kind of just ruins the image and mm-hmm. the idea whole movement in that one picture, in a way. So,
right.
Definitely identify, because I've done everything correctly. I grew up, in pretty, middle class circumstances. Went to college, got a degree, did teach with it, but in a system that was completely broken. So I left, and I couldn't get a job in the suburbs anywhere. Not even hours away from my home. So I decided, instead of wasting my time just subbing and working with disabled children in their home, I would go back to school, you know, earlier than planned. I was always planning on going back for special education.
Right.
But at the moment, like, I have no insurance. I just barely pay my rent and everything, and only because I live in a home that's owned by a friend's family. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to afford to live on my own. And it is very frustrating. I'm well-educated. I'm hardworking. I've worked so hard my whole life. I've had a job since I was 11, you know, as a babysitter, and then I moved on from there. And yet, what do I have? You know?
Not very much, I guess,
I mean, I appreciate, obviously, there's people that are much worse off. I completely understand that. But I'm saying, in this kind of country, you know, you expect if you work hard and you get educated, not because I think going to college in itself makes you a better person, but that is kind of, it's a requirement for many things anymore. And I do, you know, enjoy learning and being educated in a way. So.
Do you have student loans?
Now I do. The first university I went to was a state school, and I worked full-time while I was in school full-time. So I was able to just barely pay for school while I was in school. And I also lived at home, so that helped a lot. I mean, not because living at home was not helpful, but for myself, but it was helpful.
Yeah, you didn't have expenses you would otherwise have incurred.
With graduate school, there was no way, especially now that I'm on my own, I needed to get federal loans, which, I mean, at least I qualified for, which, you know, I scraped by to qualify for.
Right.
Because when I was younger, I wouldn't have qualified for them for my undergrad, because they base it on your parents' income when you're, you know, first starting college, and my parents would have made too much money, technically speaking.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, so I do identify with them because, you know, we work hard. We do, you know, we do pretty much follow the formula of success, as we're told. You know, everyone has a different purpose. I mean, I went to college because I wanted to become a teacher, and that was the way you did it.
Other people
go to college, they want to be a banker, or they want to, you know, work in business or computer fields, etc. But, you know, I'm not surviving as well as I think I should be. I'm not looking for, you know, expensive cars and big houses that I can't afford, which is another part of our problem.
Right. So, obviously, you identify with the movement in terms of what they are denouncing. They are denouncing that there are a number of people who have, as you say, done what one is supposed to do, and it hasn't worked for them, right? So, obviously, you agree with this. So, what do you think should happen, and do you think the Occupy movement can make it happen?
That's where it becomes a double-edged sword in a way, because, like, the protest is obviously getting attention, in some cases negative. And I think, I don't know if you were in the channel when I posted the Berkeley protest video, that they were, you know, pretty brutally treated.
Yeah.
And also, I forget which city it was. There was another Occupy movement where the people were, you know, just gathered, you know, possibly illegally, but they weren't, you know, hurting anyone, et cetera. And the police started, I think, using, like, tear gas, maybe, and some rubber bullets, I believe.
Could be Oakland, but not sure.
Yeah, Oakland. I think that was it. I read and take in so much information, I forget details once in a while, especially names of places. So that kind of example is just, I didn't understand. Like, the police pretty much started the problem.
Yeah.
They weren't solving one. And it's funny, I actually did a lot of research and work with the race riots in the 1960s when I was an undergrad, kind of a random offshoot of what I was working on.
Right.
And it just really hauntingly reminded me of that. And then if you compare them, obviously they're very different, the race riots and Occupy Wall Street, but they have a very similar foundation in the fact that like certain parts of Detroit, the African-American people were obviously made less money than the white people, but their housing, compared to their income, was more expensive. You know, they were, I forget the word for it, but basically they were paying more money, they were being charged more money for something just because they were black, in a sense. And I know that's not directly related, but it was all came down to they couldn't get ahead. They were constantly being kept down. And that's what I feel, you know, now it's more economically based than obviously race, but I feel it's on a parallel that, you know, I feel like this country makes it so I cannot get ahead.
Right.
So that's why it really reminded me of those race riots. And then also, if you want to think about those race riots, you know, what did they actually accomplish? Yeah, they got brought attention. Yeah, the people were able to make a stand and say what they had to say. They were also treated pretty awfully as well. And there was a lot more, you know, violence and rioting and looting and all that. But, you know, thinking about today, I honestly don't think, you know, minorities are really any better off. Or at least not, you know, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm. Well, it did get some legislative changes, though, I think, no?
Oh, of course, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, I live in the city now. I had taught in, like, a really bad part of the city a couple years ago. And I feel like there's a lot of, you know, like you said, changes that have, and I'm glad for them. I wish there was more of anything.
Yeah.
I just feel like from living in the city and having worked in a really bad part of the city, that a lot of things are the same.
Right.
And that's what makes me think this movement, I mean, it's great that people are I was waiting for it. I wondered where it was all this time. Because I honestly don't have the time. I don't have the time to join them, really, or to be a part of it, because I have so much I have to do, and I can't just discard my graduate school work and my job. You know, that's really not going to help me any.
Yeah.
But I'm glad they're doing that. But I just don't, I really don't know if it's going to actually make real change. I mean, obviously, if you vote more Democrats in, which, again, I don't agree necessarily with the Green Party, but they tend to be the ones that are more in my favor, you know, agree with me more on certain aspects of government. Right. So maybe the movement could get, you know, say Obama reelected, just if anything, just to keep out the Tea Party, not even because he's fantastic. Also maybe to get more Democrats into the Congress, you know, not vote in more Republicans or vote out Republicans. I mean, it could make those kind of changes, which then in turn could make further changes, but on its own, I mean, I really don't see...
So you are not very optimistic about things?
I mean, I think I've been kind of taught not to be, in a way. Like, yeah, it'd be awesome if it really had a major impact, and soon. But if anything, it'll be a long time.
Do you think it can get much worse?
That's actually a pretty scary thought, because, I mean, anything can get worse. I hope it doesn't. I mean, especially with the economy, we've already been bailed out by China.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, another joke people make about how, like, the Chinese own us and everything. But then again, I think, isn't the EU, or has the EU bailed other countries out in there?
Yeah.
I remember hearing something about that. I know Greece was obviously doing terribly. And
oh, Greece and Italy are in very deep trouble.
And I also saw Ireland wasn't doing too good, too.
Oh, Ireland, yeah. The problem with Ireland is weirder. They are having to pay their bank's debts. So that is very strange, because in the
case of... So that's kind of like what we did. We bailed out the banks with our money.
That's right.
And then they just pocketed it and gave it to their CEOs. Here, have a Christmas bonus.
Yeah, pretty much. That is a bit of a problem.
I understand, I don't agree either way. I can sort of understand bailing out the banks for the general economy.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't have just handed them money like he did. Like, he was just like, here's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's like no strings attached, right? It's a bit...
Exactly. I would have been like, this goes to this, this goes to that. If any of you try to put it into your pockets, you're not getting it, or it's getting taken back, or, like that. That's kind of how I feel about a lot of things. Like, say, like, abortion. I feel it should be legal and available at the same time. I think there should be some kind of regulation involved, you know. I don't think it should be used as birth control and stuff like that. So, Yeah, so regulation, well, I can understand why some businesses are like, oh, we don't want regulations because then we can't make money. But if you don't have regulations, you know, especially like the EPA, they want to get rid of all these regulations on how much, you know, toxins they can put in the like nearby stream and this and that. And I understand their business goals, but environmentally and just humanity, like, you can't, that's not going to last. That's not sustainable. If you keep dumping more and more waste, you're going to just kill the environment and kill the people. And
yeah, that's a reasonable case.
I just feel like American businesses want short-term gain. They like their, you know, I just feel like those in the 1%, as OWS would say.
Yes.
I feel like they just want their lifestyle. They want their things and their stuff and their names and their status. And they don't care, you know, about their grandchildren, I feel like. You know, they don't care about, you know, most of the other people in the country.
Right, right.
And I'm hoping at least the movement kind of wakes them up a little bit, but knowing how people are, I mean, I doubt they're going to change or do anything differently, so.
I see. Well, I'd like to make you some questions about the channel, because we usually do that with the interview so far.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you come across the politics channel, if you could tell us?
Okay, I actually started in FNet on free politics.
Right.
And it's really ironic because they always said this place was like the devil and everything else. And I never really believed it because I never experienced it for myself personally.
Right.
But I, you know, I just started in FNet. Because I knew somebody outside of IRC, like, from, like, since I was, like, in high school, maybe.
Right.
He was like, oh, I go to this channel on IRC and FNet, you know, why don't you come check it out? So it began. Oh, boy. So, yeah, basically, that didn't go too well.
Right.
I mean, it's not that I take complete blame, but I don't say it's none of my fault. Not because I intentionally caused any problems or anything. It's just I was too trusting and too kind,
right,
which is my faults to begin with in real life, you know. And then I think it was like pretty much the beginning of this year. I was like, oh, I'll go over Freenode and check out politics, you know, the one they always talked about, just because I'm like, how bad could it be? Kicked out like in a second because the way they talk, like you can't say anything to anyone and it's a problem. And then I just got really involved and, like, you know, obviously I try to avoid a lot of people and things, but for the most part I really did enjoy actually, you know, discussing with people around the world. That's the whole point of, you know, IRC and politics is to talk about views and things going on. And obviously we have our side banter and other things, you know. I think the other day we were talking about how everyone's bisexual. I mean, I think it's the same topic. You know, why not? You know, I don't think it's ruining the integrity of the channel.
When no one else is talking about any political thing. I don't think it.
And I think bisexuality is actually very political.
Well, yes, it is, because people do make it a political matter, so.
So, I mean, just to say, you know, but then if it's a certain person talking about a certain thing, then that's not, you know, allowed. I don't know. I do agree that there's some weirdness going on, but otherwise. So I ended up in politics. I think I was also in Politico for a while.
Right.
I think I actually started last. I can't remember now. I think I might have started at the end of last year going to Freenode.
Right, right.
More regularly this year, and then I pretty much just go to politics. I honestly, you know, I'm not in IRC for a bunch of other channels, and I'm not even in there that much anymore. I just come in, like, I did a whole bunch of schoolwork, and now I'm just kind of hanging out for a bit, so.
So, one thing I also try to ask people who are part of some minority in some way in the channel, which in our case females are. Do you think the channel environment is, let's say, welcoming or non-hostile to females?
It depends who you're talking to.
Right.
And which female you are.
Right.
Because obviously, you know, other some people are treated differently than others, regardless if they are both female or not. And I understand there's some history, respect, etc. I don't deny anybody those things. It's also, of course, who you're talking to. Like, you are very, you know, since the day I've, you know, come in here and talked to you, you know, not that I don't think, I don't even know if you knew I was a female at first, but between then and after knowing, you know, your demeanor towards me has not been any different.
Mm-hmm.
While other people seem to change theirs once they find out,
right.
Which can either go one of two ways. It can go to, you know, tits or get the fuck out, or it goes to, which I got so many times, it's not even funny, between FNet and Freenode, it's unbelievable. Or you get, you know, hey, you know, do you want a PM?
Yeah, I see.
Or you get like, oh, you know, you're just a stupid cunt, like, don't talk in here, like, you shouldn't be here. I mean, you just get a really wide range. I mean, a lot of it's negative, obviously, if you've noticed from the past couple of examples.
Yeah.
But then some people are just like, oh, that's cool, I didn't even know you were. I'm like, well, that's the point. I'm not trying to be, and I'm trying not to hide it either. I'm just in the channel to discuss things. But for the most, I mean, I guess generally it is more hostile than not.
Right.
And that could be, obviously, because it's a very, like what you said, a minority. And also the type of individuals you'll have in most IRC channels, you know, are just not the most socially inept, perhaps.
Mm, so. Yeah. This is something that the operator base, we have wanted to, well, modulate it a bit. But obviously there is a tension between making the channel welcoming to all and making the channel too regulated in what people are allowed to say. So it is a difficult equilibrium to reach. But yeah, I like to ask people in that situation, because a lot of us operators are not part of such minorities either, so we may not be able to see things that clearly either. And aside from all that stuff, I think if you would like to talk about something else, we could talk about something else. Or, you know, if you want to raise some other issue.
Well, like I said, I don't really want to go into, like, other people's business and all that. This is not, like, my...
No,
my
like, aside
stuff.
From the channel, like, you
no,
know,
I
any
know,
other
I'm
political thing.
I'm stating to our current topic, well, our just recent topic. Well, I guess really the Tea Party is the only, you know, that's just something that's always in my mind.
Oh,
like
to comment about the Tea Party? Right.
I have nightmares about them. I think I wake up sweating. not really, but that's probably like my biggest fear.
Do you think they're a danger for real?
I think they are. I mean, they're jokes, obviously, to most, you know, they're idiots. Like, to hear them speak makes me cringe. Like, I lose brain cells when Jon Stewart or Stephen Colbert plays a clip of those debates, because I just cannot believe what is coming out or not coming out of their mouths.
Yeah.
And just for comparison, Jon Stewart had Bill Clinton on his show, I think, earlier this week. And to hear him speak, I was like, why can't you be president again? Like, not just because he's intelligent and educated. Obviously, so is Obama. But Clinton really knew what he was doing, obviously, not personally, but that's a thing. I really don't care that he did that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And men do that, and I don't think it's right at all, but honestly, he was a great president, and he did things well, and, you know, obviously I agreed with his standpoints and what he fought for, so, you know, it was even all the better.
Yeah, I must admit, from Europe, to most of us, it always looked a bit peculiar how you mix the personal and the political in the U.S. So,
oh yeah, I
a lot
think,
of people in Europe the business with the secretary or intern or whatever seemed to be of no political import whatsoever, but you seem to take it so seriously. I mean, you're plural, right? As a country.
Yeah, I've noticed. And it's, I almost feel like Clinton was doing such a good job, and he obviously represented, like, the liberals. I just feel like they just were looking for anything, you know, anything to pull him down. I mean, they tried to impeach him. I mean, that's insane. He was doing a good job. It's just the conservatives didn't like, they didn't like that he was doing a good job because it wasn't helping them.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, but I totally agree that I've noticed, I mean, once in a while we'll hear something about, you know, the French, I don't even know, is it a president or prime minister? That's terrible. I don't even know.
You mean the guy who got with Carla Bruni, or?
I just remember hearing about other world leaders and other mistresses and this and that, and it's just how it is. It's like, whatever.
It happens,
you know?
Yeah.
I think, well, we even had other presidents, like JFK and the whole Marilyn Monroe thing.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, definitely.
No one's, you know, tried to impeach him and made a big deal out of it.
Well, they shot him instead.
got killed, yes, but he didn't get taken out by impeachment or attempted impeachment.
Fair enough, yeah.
So, yeah, but I'm just saying, the Tea Party, listening to them talk and then listening to Bill Clinton talk around the same time period, it just made me realize even more so how terrible they are.
Right.
How they have no idea what they're talking about and how their plans to help us are just going to sink us.
So this is something I wanted to ask someone from the U.S. Do you think that the Tea Party are a genuine grassroots movement, or that they are an orchestrated movement from, you know, the power, so to speak? Do you think that if they gain power, they will actually do what they say they will do, or is it just a means to get power?
I honestly think it's they are fueled and funded and created by people who have money and who are on top. I mean, they're obviously all conservative, Republicans, etc. Well, I think one might be an independent, technically speaking, who's running. But it's a sham. I think that on that side of the coin, that they are pretty much political extensions of corporations in a way.
Right.
You know? And they try to connect with the people and try to convince the people that they're actually, you know, their quote unquote Tea Party going against, you know, the government that's been like holding us back and this and that, to get people on board to vote for them just so they can do things as they please, which are really extreme too. They're very extreme in their views and what they want to do. So I don't think it's grassroots at all.
Right.
It's very much corporation-based. I mean, I think one even said that corporations are people. I mean, or wanted to, you know, emphasize that point.
Yeah.
And all of them are very wealthy. I'm not saying that Democrats aren't wealthy, too, but I just feel it is, like you say, like a power move more than anything.
Yeah. So, anything else, or...?
Not that I can think of at the moment.
Okay, it will do, I think.
Yeah, I don't want to run too long.
Thanks a lot for your time. It's been a pleasure to interview you. And I hope to see you around ISC more often.
I shall be there.
See you then. Bye.
Bye.